appreciate that song. God be the glory. Oh, yeah. He warned me, don't mess with his microphone.
There you go.
I thought he was going to forget it, but he didn't. You just about blew it then. Before I get started, I just want to thank God for letting my daughter be here tonight, Michelle. And we appreciate her taking her time out from her church and coming here tonight. And I appreciate it very much. Good to have the rest of you here too, my brothers and sisters in Christ. And I trust you'll get something out of the Word of God tonight. If you get anything out of it, He gets the glory. If you don't, you can blame me. So if you would, take your Bible and turn over to Proverbs 11. Proverbs chapter 11. I'm going to preach a little bit of a different message tonight than probably what we've heard in the past. But I hope it'll be a blessing to you in some way. And again, I just trust it'll help you in some way as we look at the Word of God tonight. Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 30. Now, I'm going to break this scripture down word for word, and then we're going to get into the message. The Bible says the fruit. What is fruit? Fruit is something that's produced. If you have an apple tree and you plant apples, you're going to get apples. If you plant an orange tree, you're going to get oranges, or pear tree. That's the fruit you're going to get. That's the what you get out of it. So the Bible says the fruit, and again, that's what you get, what it becomes, fruit. The fruit of the righteous. Now I want you to notice that word righteous. Now I know what some of you probably think, Brother Melvin, the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. And the Bible's right. And you're right if you're thinking that. However, if we're washed in the blood of Christ, we're righteous in His eyes. So when we look at this scripture here, and the Bible says the fruit of the righteous, He's talking about people who've been born again that's righteous through His blood. And it kind of explains that fruit. A saved person, winning souls, is the fruit. Alright? Fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And everybody knows that's life eternal. I ain't talking about 50 years or 100 years in with the Lord or 150 years. That's forever. That's eternal. So the righteous is a tree of life, and he, the individual that winneth souls, is wise. God says a person that'll win souls is a wise person. It don't matter whether you're a man or woman, a boy or girl. If you're a soul winner and you're out winning souls, God said you're a wise person. The question is, how many people want to win souls? But I want to say it again. Why win souls? I know you've heard that ever since you've been in church pretty much about soul winning. Well, it ain't what I say. It's what God says. And we're going to look at that tonight through the Word of God. And I'm going to be going to a lot of scriptures tonight. And we're going to be looking at a lot of God's Word. But I want to back it up at His Word. Why win souls? First of all, take your Bible and go to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11. We're going to start looking at this thing now. Proverbs chapter 11. And I just read the fruit of life, the tree of life. He that wins souls is wise. The first thing I want you to look at is over in Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. I want everything I say coming to the Word of God. Mark chapter 9. And let's look at verse number 42. Mark chapter 9 and verse 42. And I want you to notice this is the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me is better than him that a millstone will hang about his neck and were cast into the sea." Now watch verse 43. Let's look at it. "And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off." That's what Jesus said. Cut it off. Better for you to enter into life maimed than having two hands that go into hell, into the fire that should never be quenched. Now, I want to stop in verse 43. Have you ever stopped and thought about what that means? The fire will never be quenched. It'll never be any less hot in a million years as it was when they fell into that place. It'll never be quenched. It'll never be any less hot, no matter how long it is. It'll never be quenched. A fire. A fire. And it shall never be quenched. Look at verse 44. "And their worm dies not. And the fire is not quenched." We see in verse 44, not only the fire will not be quenched, but the worm dies not. Have you ever stopped and thought about what that is? Those worms are in hell on those people that are in hell, and that fire will never be quenched, and it'll burn them, and burn them, and burn them, and scorch them forever. It'll burn them. But not only that, we see in that scripture where it says, "The worm dies not." There's worms eating on people in hell right now. They're eating on them. They're crawling on them. They're in their eyes. They're all over their body. They can't get rid of them. And they're in that flame, and the flame is burning them and scorching them, and they can't get out of it. And the worms, they're like maggots are eating on them. You ever seen a big old carcass somewhere, and the maggots, about a million of them, and they're just eating and eating and eating. When they get through with that carcass, they're gone. But these worms won't go away. It says, "Where the worm dies not." Hey, we're talking about hell tonight. And then verse 45. "If a foot offend thee, cut it off. Better enter halt into life than having to be cast into hell fire." Now I want you to notice this. "Where the worm dies not and the fire is not quenched." But what did the Bible say? To be cast into hell fire. You know what that word cast means? It means to pitch or to throw. Now they don't just go up there and say, "Well now, I hate to do this to you, son, but you're going to have to burn in hell. Get going in." The Bible says they were cast into the lake. They were cast in there where the worms and the fire was. And that word cast means to pitch or to throw. Look it up. It means to pitch or throw. They ain't just letting them down in there real nice. And so they're pitching them into hell and casting them in that awful place. Verse number 48 says, "And where their worm dies not, and the fire is not quenched." Boy, can you imagine something like that? Yeah. Let's go on. Matthew chapter 5. Yeah. Matthew chapter 5. Yeah. Matthew chapter 5. Yeah. And let's look at verse number 22. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 22. And again, these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "But I say unto you, whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause is in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire." Right there, Jesus put them both together, hell and fire, right there in that same sentence. They shall be in danger of hell fire. Where's hell at? It's in the center of the earth. What about the fire? It's going to be right down there in hell with the rest of them. That's what Jesus said. And then it goes on, and I want you to see that part right there in verse 22. Go to Matthew chapter 10. And I could dwell on these, I just want you to get the point across. Matthew chapter 10, verse number 28. Again, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. "And fear not them which kill the body, is not able to kill the soul." Now I want you to know, what is it? The body dies. The soul lives forever. And the soul is going to live somewhere forever and ever, either in heaven or in hell, one of the two. So Jesus said, fear not them which is able to kill the body, but not able to kill the soul. Hey, in heaven ain't nobody going to kill the soul. But rather fear him that is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. That's the devil in hell. Can you imagine that? Why win souls in hell? Go to Matthew 25. There's a lot I'd like to say about these. I want to get through it all, and I got a lot I want to say. Matthew 29. In verse number 30. In Matthew 29. Here in verse number 30. Matthew 25. Matthew 25. I'm sorry. Matthew 25. In verse 29. Matthew 25 and verse 29. Matthew 25 and verse number 29. To everyone that has shall be given, and shall have abundance, and from him that hath not shall be taken even that he hath. And cast, there's that word cast, that means to pitch or to throw, the words of Jesus, cast an unprofitable to outer darkness. You've read that over and over and over. Have you ever stopped and thought about what outer darkness is? Outer darkness is darkness outside of darkness. In other words, it's so dark you can't see anything. If we had windows around this room and it's pitch dark outside, and we was in here, we'd have lights, we could see in here. But you look outside, if it's pitch dark, that's outer darkness to us. That's darkness. And that's what Jesus said here in these scriptures. He said you'll be cast into outer darkness. You know, I couldn't imagine being in a place all the time where it's just pure dark. Never no light. There'll never be any sunshine. There'll never be a ray of light of any kind. It'll be darkness forever and ever and ever. And then he said, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know, I never really thought much about that, gnashing of teeth. You know what that word means? It means to grind one's teeth together in anger and rage. Can you imagine down in that awful place with the worms eating on you and the fire burning you all the time and it ain't never quenched? And then you walking around all down there in that mess and people gnawing on you and people biting them. That's what it says, it grinds them with the teeth with anger and rage. Hey, them people down there ain't gonna be walking around. Well, hello, brother and sister. They're gonna be down there, they're gonna be angry where they're at. And they're gonna be biting on each other, and gnawing on each other, and chewing on each other forever and ever and ever. That's what's gonna be down there. Go to Proverbs chapter 27. There's a lot I'd like to say here. But I wanna go ahead, I wanna get this in. Here, Proverbs chapter 27. Here, verse number 20. Proverbs 27 and verse 20. Here, here's another thing we need to look at about hell. Here, hell and destruction are never full. So the eyes of man are never satisfied. You know what the devil would like to have us read in that scripture? The devil would like for us to read, hell and destruction are never full, now is man never satisfied. And people quote that scripture off, I've been guilty of it. I don't care whether a man's satisfied or not. God don't really care. What God cares about is where they're going to spend eternity. And the Bible says here, hell and destruction are never full. Do you realize today people are driving off into hell by the millions in this world? Hey! And it's going to get larger still. Hell will never be full. 50 million people a year could drop into hell and it'd never be full. Well, how you see that, Brother Mel? God said it, that's why. It'll never be full. Will it be crowded? Yeah, but it will never be full. You ever heard somebody say, well, it'll fill up one of these days. I won't be down there. I don't have to work. They got deceived by the devil himself. Hell will never be full. A million years, it'll never be full. Never. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Boy, it's a blessed book. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Here, look at verse number 22. Here, Deuteronomy 32 and verse 22. The Bible says, "For a fire is kindled in my anger and shall burn into the lowest hell." Now, you know, I read that thing and I got to think about that, the lowest hell. There's a fire. The fire don't just burn on one level and it don't burn the next level. The Bible says here, the fire is kindled in mine anger. In other words, it never goes out. It's being kindled all the time in what? God's anger. You think God ain't angry with sin? You think God's not angry with the way people live? Sure He is, but He wants them saved. So a fire is kindled in mine anger and shall burn to the lowest hell. How many of you ever heard somebody say, "Well, I'll be in the first compartment of hell. I won't be down where it's so bad." There ain't no such thing as a first compartment. God said that fire is going to burn to the lowest hell. As far as hell goes, it's going to burn and burn and burn and burn. "And shall consume the earth with her increase and set on fire the foundations of the mountains." That hell is going to burn all the way down. Let's go back over to Matthew chapter 8. Yeah, I'm trying to get these things in kind of a little order here. Here, Matthew chapter 8. I don't think I read that one yet. Here, Matthew chapter 8. Man, I looked at this stuff and God showed me some things I'd never seen before. Matthew chapter 8. Here, verse number 11. Again, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. "And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." Now notice what He said. "And sat down with Abraham and Isaac in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Now let's break that thing down. Said outer darkness, and then we said a while ago they'd be weeping, they'll be crying and weeping and bawling and crying, shedding tears, and they ain't gonna do a bit of good. And they'll be biting on each other their teeth. They'll be gnawing their tongues for pain. You read that in the scriptures. The Bible said in hell they'll be gnawing their tongue for pain. Have you ever bit your tongue while you're eating something and it just seemed like it was excruciating? They're gonna be down there and they're gonna be biting their chewing their tongue for pain. I couldn't imagine it. Now we find here in these scriptures also some pretty serious stuff. Let's go on. Matthew chapter 25. Matthew's got a lot to say about it, and most of it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 25. Verse number 41. "Then shall He say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, unto everlasting." I want you to notice that word, everlasting. "Everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Now let's look at it. "Then shall they say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, unto everlasting fire." How many of you ever heard somebody say, "Well, after so many years, the fire kind of dissipate and the fire kind of fade away and it won't be as bad"? Boy, that's one of the biggest lies that the devil's ever told, and he's told a lot of lies in his times. That fire will never be quenched. That fire will never be any less hot. When you're there a million years, it'll be just as hot when you got there. It'll burn just as bad when you got there as it burned when you hit it the first time, and it'll never be quenched and it'll never go out. Never, 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 never. That's hell. Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. Look at verse number 20. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles for him, which he shall be deceived of them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. And both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. You ever stop and looked up the word brimstone, what it is? Brimstone is a sulfur-tasting, strong sulfur-tasting or smell. You ever smelt sulfur? It'll take your breath. Well, that's what brimstone is. I never realized it. Brimstone. It's a strong sulfur and taste and smell. So what did you say in verse number 20? Both were cast alive into a lake of burning, a lake of fire burning with brimstone. First of all, I want you to notice he said it was a lake. It's a lake. How big the lake is, I can't tell you. How deep the lake is, I don't know. How far the lake stretches, I don't know. But I know it's in hell. And they'll be cast. And again, they'll be cast. They'll be taken and pitched or thrown into that lake of fire burning with brimstone. How'd you like to smell sulfur and taste sulfur the rest of your times in eternity forever and ever and ever and ever and never get out? That's what they're facing. Forever. Brimstone. Fire, a lake of fire and brimstone. And then look at Revelation chapter 14. I couldn't imagine. In Revelation chapter 14. Revelation 20, I mean. In Revelation chapter 20. Here, look at verse number 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. There it is again, which is the second death. And again, we see where the Bible says death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, the second death. And that's the second death we'll face. We'll die here in this life. Everybody in this room will die someday in this life unless the Lord comes back and takes them home. But in this life, everybody in here will die sometime. Oh boy, that's mighty morbid. It ain't morbid if you know Christ your Savior. It ain't morbid if you know you're going to heaven and live with Jesus forever. That ain't morbid. Praise God, I'm ready to go. Hallelujah. But God, when I don't think about those, you're going to be cast into that lake of fire and burn forever and ever. Take your Bible and go over to Psalms 88. Psalms 88. Psalms 88. Look at verse number 1. The Bible says, O Lord God, my salvation, I have cried day and night before Thee. Let my prayer come before Thee, incline Thine ear unto my cry. For my soul is full of troubles, and my life draweth nigh unto the grave. Verse 4. I am counted with them that go down into the pit. The pit. He didn't say go down to the grave, he didn't go down to hell. He said down into the pit. I'm a man that hath no strength. Do you realize tonight that these people going to hell be cast into a bottomless pit? In a pit of abyss? Hey, they cast in that pit, there ain't no place to stand. There ain't gonna be no chair to sit on. There ain't gonna be nowhere to stand. There ain't gonna be no solid ground you can stand on and walk. They're cast into a pit, a bottomless pit, the pit of abyss. They'll never stop tumbling. They'll never stop falling. They'll never stop tumbling and falling and rolling in hell. Never hit the bottom. Never step on solid ground. Never. Why? So I'm accounted them that go down into the pit. And you notice everything I said is down, down, down. Nothing is up when you get to hell. Here, turn over to Psalms 28. Here, Psalms 28. Here, verse number 1. Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Down, down, down. That's all you'll see when it comes to hell. Down. Never up, but down. Tell your Bible to go over to Luke chapter 16. Here, Luke chapter 16. Here, Luke chapter 16. I'm going to begin reading verse number 19. Watch these. And there was a certain rich man with clothes in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. Boy, he had it made, didn't he? Huh? And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Now watch verse 22. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. See the difference? One was carried in Abraham's bosom, the other died and was buried. Now watch this. And in hell, where's he at? He's in hell. He lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Now, how many of you caught what I just read? I've heard this scripture quoted more the wrong way than I have ever heard it quoted right. That ain't what it says. The Bible says, and then the Bible says, in hell he lift up his eyes. See, there's a difference. People read that thing, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. If he lifted up his eyes, that's past tense, he may not be there now. But the Bible says in hell, he lifted up his eyes, that's present tense, and he's still there, and he'll be there a million years from tonight. I never saw that for a long time. In hell, he lifted up his eyes, he lifted up his eyes, boy, he was singing, he was having a big time. No, he was in torments. Have you ever looked around? Have you ever seen something that's tormented? Have you ever been tormented about something in your life that you couldn't shake? Have you ever seen people be tormented? Maybe watching them. I know back in the wars, First and Second War, and some of the wars, how people were tormented and tortured. And hell, he lifted up his eyes, what? Hey, Ben, joyful, whoopee. No, in torments. And I want you to notice what it says. Plural, torments. More than one. If it said being in torment, say, well, maybe that torment get gone, he'd be all right. No, torments. It's plural. And seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Now watch this, watch this. And send Lazarus, that he may dip a tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. Now, let's break this thing down. Look at this. And he said, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send me that Lazarus may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. He didn't ask for a bucket of water. He didn't ask for a gallon of water. He didn't ask for a quart of water. He didn't ask for a big bottle of water. He didn't ask for a thimble of water. He asked for one lousy drop on his finger that never would have got to his lips anyway. One drop of water is all he wanted. Why? He was tormented. He was burning. He was hot. He was in hell. That's all he wanted. One drop on a fingertip. If I put my fingertip on there, you didn't know it. And he was in hell where it was burning. You imagine something like that? That he may dip the tip of his tongue in water to cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this. Now, I want you to notice what he said. He didn't say, I'm tormented in this fire. You know, I thought about that God didn't show me that for a long time. He didn't say, I was tormented in this fire. He said, I'm tormented in this flame. The flame is the hottest part of a fire. That's that blue flame in the center of a fire. That's the hottest part of a fire. So he wasn't tormented. The outside part of the fire may be a fire, but it ain't near as hot as the center of that flame in the middle of a fire. He said he was tormented in that flame. He didn't say fire. He said tormented in this flame. We need to think about that. And then I want to go to Revelation chapter 21, and let's look at the company of hell. Revelation chapter 21. The company of hell. Boy, this right here ought to be enough to somebody want to get saved. Revelation chapter 21. Verse number 8. The company of hell. I'd like to break these all down, but I don't have time. For the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and adulterers and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Now what's this last part? See, this company's going to be... Hey, people, how many of you ever heard this? Well, I'm going to be down there with all my friends. I heard it all my life growing up. I thought that was right. Man, I was in church. I'd go into Lutheran church and, I believed them. I didn't know the difference. I would hate to think that not only hell life's going to be down there with all that crowd. Fearful, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, adulterers, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That's what's going to be down there. That's going to be the company of hell. And I got two more things I want to cover, and I'm through. Let's phrase this thing down, and then I'm going to close. One more scripture. That fire will never be quenched. That fire will be burning people forever and ever and ever and ever. It'll burn them. There won't be no night or day. It's one long, endless eternity. And that fire will be burning them. That fire will be licking their body. That fire will be burning them what they are. They'll be down there in them flames. They'll be down there scorched. They'll be down there begging God, oh, God, take that fire away. Take it away. Take it away. Take it away. It ain't going nowhere. That fire will never be quenched. And then they'll be cast into outer darkness. You realize that down there, even though there's fire, and even though fire has a flame, there's no fire. It's a darkness. The Bible says they'll be cast into outer darkness. There'll be they can't see nothing. They'll feel that fire burning on them and burning on them. And they'll look up and all they see is black. All they see is darkness. They don't see no light. They won't see one ray of light. Not one ray of light will they see. It's all darkness forever and ever and ever. All darkness. So they'll be down there in that place called hell. There'll be fire burning on them. And darkness for eternity. They'll be bumping into people in hell and gnashing on each other their teeth. And they won't know who done it. They won't be able to see who done it. And the worms will be eating on them. And the fire will never be quenched. And then they'll be gnashing their teeth. They'll be gnawing on each other and biting on each other. And they'll bite on each other and bite on each other. And it'll never end forever and ever and ever and ever. They can beg God all they want to and it'll never end. It's an everlasting fire. And then again I say it'll be burning with fire and brimstone. And then we looked at the scripture too. It's going to be a bottomless pit. A pit of abyss. They'll fall and they'll tumble in that dark place. And the fire burn them, and the worms eating on them, and all the things down there, and they'll be tumbling, and they'll be hollering, and they'll be screaming, and there'll be nothing but darkness forever and ever and ever and ever. And they'll tumble in that bottomless pit, and you say, well, how can that be a bottomless pit? Because God said it would be, and He can do anything. They'll never have anything to stand on. They won't be able to stand on nothing solid. They'll tumble and fall and roll and scream for eternity. And they ain't getting out. Bottomless pit. Then the Bible says in other scriptures, they gnaw their tongues for pain. If you ever bit, don't raise your hand. If you ever bit your tongue, boy, you're talking about something hurt. I know one time I got in a hurry. I was going to try to pack a hamburger down real quick, and some of the meat didn't get in or something. I got the back of that tongue. Whoa! I believe that thing hurt for about 3 weeks. I wanted to get that hamburger down. But I bit my tongue. Could you imagine going through hell and all that and the darkness and everything and gnawing your tongue because of the pain there? Just think about it. Bottomless pit. And then I want you to notice another thing, and I'm almost through. It'll never be full. Hell will never be full. It'll be forever and ever and ever and ever, but it'll never be full. I've had people tell me, well, I believe that after so many people get in hell, there ain't gonna be nowhere to put them. Ain't what God said. Hell, we just read the scripture. Hell will never be full. Never, 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 never will it be full. They'll be cast into hell by the thousands and the thousands and the thousands forever and ever and ever as long as this world's here. And he'll be casting them into hell, throwing them into hell, and that's where they're going to go. When they take their last breath, son, it's over. They don't have no more pardons. They don't have no more way to get saved. They're gone. They're doomed for eternity. Get it back up there. I ain't talking to you. But it'll never be full. It don't matter how many people's in hell. They just keep on falling. They'll keep on coming. They'll keep on throwing them in there. And they'll never be full. Never be full. Revelation chapter 16. And we saw where they gnawed their tongue for pain. And now, with all this, take your Bible and go to James chapter 4. Before one more chapter, one more thing. I think I don't want to skip this. I might have already preached it. Yeah, I already preached it. Okay, now with all we've heard, and the title of the message was Why Win Souls. I want to sum this thing up now. Go to James chapter 5. And I'm going to sum her up. James chapter 5. Now let's look at it. Look at verse number 19. Let's let this sink in. Brethren, who's he talking to? Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, now watch it, and let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and hide a multitude of sins. Let's read it again. Brethren. Who's he talking about? Brethren. He ain't talking about the laws. He's talking about brethren. If any of you do err from the truth and convert him, individual, he that wins souls is wise. Let him know that he which converts one sinner from the error of his way shall save what? A soul from death and hide a multitude of sins. Why soul win? Why do we win souls? Now let's examine ourselves. Don't raise your hands. But in our hearts. What's winning souls? One way is giving out gospel tracts. Nope, don't nobody raise their hand. I don't care to know. It ain't nobody's business but yours and God's. How many gospel tracts have you give out this week? Nope, don't raise your hand. That's between you and the Lord. Well, Brother Melvin, I tried that one time years ago, and I had a man throw them back in my face. Part of the course. I had a man one time, he cussed me out and throwed it down. God saw it. Our job ain't to worry about whether they cuss us or whether they throw them back in our face or whether they take them or not. Our job is to give them out so they can get saved and lead them to the Lord or let God take care of it when they get to track. It ain't our... We can't have it if they don't want them. And I can tell you right now, they ain't going to keep... All of them ain't going to take them. But let's ask ourselves as individuals this past week, how many tracks did we give out? I'm not talking about putting them in phone booths. That's fine if you want to do that. I'm talking about personally handing the tracts to the individual. You know, a lot of people will take them. Some people won't. But you can't do nothing about it. You know what Jesus said? Them people won't take the tracts and they throw them down and all want that blankety blank thing. You know what Jesus said? He said, wipe the dust off your feet and go to the next house. Ain't nothing you can do about it. God will take care of it. So let's ask ourselves, how many tracts we give out this week? It's personal to each one of you. How many tracts have you ever give out in your life? One or two or a lot? Not only giving out tracts, but how many people have you witnessed to? How many people have you witnessed to personally? How many people... I'm talking about me too. Hey, I don't escape this. I'm just like y'all are. How many people have you tried to lead to the Lord? How many times have we bumped into somebody, started a conversation with them, didn't give them a gospel? Or didn't ask them if they knew to die today, if it's been eternity in heaven, where'd they go? And we just let them go. How many times that happened? We can't control what they do, but we can sure take charge of ourselves. People dropping off into hell by the thousands, millions, in this awful place. And these things are what God said, not what I say. I want to close with this, and I'm going to close in prayer. Why, when... souls. Everybody search their own hearts. I don't see none of you men punching your wife now, or your wife punching your husband, and Ruby can't punch me because I'm up here and she's down there. So we're going to have Karen and Lady come to the instruments. We're going to play some invitation. And if you want to come, you come to the altar and get that thing squared away.